Hello, everyone. Welcome back to this week's episode of the Extra Point Podcast. My name is Todd. It's Tuesday, February 25th. Really glad you've jumped on board. Thanks for taking time to listen in to the Extra Point Podcast, where we normally look back at the previous week's text, sermon, and topic, and make some further application, some additional insight. And this week, I want to do exactly that in two ways. I want to answer a question that came in regarding a potential contradiction. But before we do that, I want to share a verse that will help us and encourage us in regards to fearing God over fearing man. If you were there, and if you listened to the message or were at one of our campuses and you were able to participate in that way, you know that we talked about the very first principle, the very first element in a gospel opportunity anatomy is that of fearing God over fearing man. We gave some good insight on that, shared some verses from Proverbs about how the fear of man is a snare. One verse I didn't share because I wanted to share it on the podcast is in Matthew chapter 10. It's verse 28. It's a pretty stinging, powerful verse, not in a negative way, but it definitely calls us to fear the right person, and that person is God instead of man. But just a little bit of context before I read the verse for you. Matthew 10, 28 follows the commissioning of the 12. That's the early part of Matthew 10. And as soon as he commissions them, he lets them know that persecutions lie ahead. And so he warns them and tells them this is going to be a difficult road for you. But he says around verse 24 that don't be surprised because a disciple's not above his teacher. In other words, if they are going to treat me this way, they're going to treat you this way. In fact, he even says in verse 25, I think this is pretty encouraging. He said, it is enough for a disciple to become like his teacher, a slave like his master. And so he's saying, you're going to see that I'm going to go through much persecution. And so it should be enough for you that if this is what's in store for you, that you're becoming like Jesus. You're becoming like me, he's saying. So he's commissioning them and warning them. And then he says this in verse 26. Therefore, don't be afraid of them. So that's his first admonition, not to be afraid of these who would persecute them, who would bring a consequence upon them. In other words, don't let the fear of man take you off course. He says this then in verse 28. He repeats himself by saying, don't fear those who kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. Rather, fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And there he really paints a picture of who really owns us as creator, and it's God. He's the one who holds our eternal destiny in his hands. And so let's not fear someone who can just bring a physical consequence upon us. Let's fear the one who actually holds our physical and spiritual destiny in his hands. He holds eternity in his hands. This is God. And Jesus here to his first disciples says, don't fear those who will only bring a physical consequence to you. Don't fear those who kill the body. Instead, you fear him, speaking of God, who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. I think this is a fantastically motivating verse that speaks of God's supremacy, his sovereignty, his authority, and calls us to realize this is the one we should fear supremely. And by fear, we do mean hold in reverence and awe and majestic worship. And that does come with a heavy weight. So we don't want to lighten the word fear. We don't want to misinterpret it and make it mean what it doesn't mean, like we're afraid in a sense that we don't want to approach him and understand his love and see his offer of salvation. That's not at all what's intended. But there is a sense in which the weight of God should be so heavy upon us that our awe and our reverence and our worship is staggering and life-changing, so that he is the one that we ultimately and supremely fear and regard and worship and hold in the highest esteem, so that when things are difficult, when persecution comes, when there is a physical consequence, to our obedience or keeping the faith, we will not shrink back, but instead we will hold fast to our confession because we fear God more than man. Let me move on to answer the question that came in. It's quite an interesting one, and I think it's very insightful that someone would notice this. In our series, it's now 4 weeks old, we've been referencing Acts 17 periodically. As you know, that's the narrative of the story of the Thessalonians. And then, of course, there's the two letters, the epistolary portion. That's Paul's writings to them, inspired scripture, God's word. Now, the section in Acts 17 is relatively short, just a few verses, whereas the letters are a collection of, I think it's maybe eight chapters. There's five in 1 Thessalonians. I think there's three in 2 Thessalonians. And so as this person was reading through perhaps the narrative and the letters, they noticed something following the narrative about the Thessalonians. It's in Acts 17. And what's recorded is that when Paul left Thessalonica, of course, there was much persecution there. Even those who listened to Paul ended up getting persecuted. But of course, Paul then and his companions, they left the town. They went to another town called Berea. And here's what the Bible says. This is Acts 17:10, and this is where this gentleman asks about the contradiction. Listen very carefully to Acts 17:10, the narrative about the city after Thessalonica. The Bible says, as soon as it was night, the brothers and sisters sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. Upon arrival, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. The people here, speaking of Berea, were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, since they received the word with eagerness and examined the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. So the question he asks is, I thought that in 1 Thessalonians 1, Paul praised the Thessalonians for the way they received the word of God. They received it. They turned from idols to God. Even 1 Thessalonians 2 talks about how they received the word. It worked in them. Paul talks about how his entrance into them was not without result. And so his question was pertaining to, it seems that 1 Thessalonians is kind of bragging up the Thessalonians. Like, you received the word well. It landed. It brought about change. You accepted it as the word of God. So is this verse, when it says that the people in Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica, how can that be? How can they be more noble if they did receive the word of God eagerly as well? It's a great question. And we have to be careful, because in Acts 17, when it says the people here, speaking of Berea, were more noble than those in Thessalonica, or were of more noble character, he's not speaking of those who believed. He's speaking of those in the city who didn't believe. He's speaking of the folks who persecuted him and Silas and Timothy and ran them out of the city, who ransacked the home of one of those who did believe. His name was Jason. He's speaking of those people, most of them being Jews. And so he's saying the people who in Thessalonica who didn't believe, who persecuted him and refused to accept God's word, they weren't the ones of noble character. Instead, the folks in Berea were. And I believe by implication, he's saying they're like the ones in Thessalonica who did believe. In other words, the ones in Berea who searched the scriptures, accepted it with eagerness, believed, they're just like the ones in Thessalonica who also believed and accepted the word, but they're of more noble character than the ones in Thessalonica who didn't believe, who persecuted and refused to accept God's word. Hope that answers the question. I'm really thankful that the person sent it in. It's one that at a first reading, any of us would have, but yes, as we see again, no contradictions. The Bible is complete, consistent, and accurate in its descriptions, history, and pattern. Well, thanks for listening today to the Extra Point Podcast. Send in any questions, and I look forward to talking with you again next week when we again visit for the Extra Point Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Extra Point Podcast. To find more content and resources to grow deeper in your relationship with Jesus, go online to firstfamily.church/resources.